Yasodhanandana Vrajajanarandana Yasodhanandana Vrajajanarandana Jamunati Ravanachari Jamunati Ravanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jayam Vishnupad, Padamanta, Padipajakacharya, Astotara Satashi Shiman, His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai. Namacharya, Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Prem Shri Kaho, Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Chananda. Shri Advaita, Shri Gadadha, Shiva Sadigor Bhaktivinda Ki Jai. Shri Shri Radha Shamasundar Gopa Gopinath, Sham Kund. Radhakund, Giri Govardhan Ki Jai, Sri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai, Mathura Dham Ki Jai, Navadvip Dham Ki Jai, Jagannath Puri Dham Ki Jai, Jagannath Swami Ki Jai, Jamuna Mai Ki Jai, Ganga Mai Ki Jai, Bhakti Devi Ki Jai, Srimati Tulsi Maharani Ki Jai, Samaveda Bhaktivrinda Ki Jai, Gopremanandi, All glory to the Assembled Devotees, all glory to the Assembled Devotees, all glory to the Assembled Devotees, all glory to Sri Guru and Gauranga, glory to Srila Prabhupada. Reading today from Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 11, text number 33, Lord Krishna's entrance into Dwarka. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Udirayet Nasta prayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati uttamashloke bhaktir bhavati naistiki. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, one should offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead, Narayan. Unto Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning. Happy birthday, Saraswati, that was yesterday. And Srila Vyasadeva, the author, and Srila Prabhupada, the translator and commentator. By regular, actually it wasn't her birthday, it was her appearance day, excuse me. Appearance. By regular attendance in the classes on the Bhagavatams and by rendering service unto the pure devotees, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed. And loving service unto the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. Irrevocable. Hare Krishna. Okay, text number 33. Yadyapyaso parshva gato raho gatas. Yadyapyaso parshva gato raho gatas. Tatapi tasyangri yugam navam navam. Tatapi tasyangri yugam navam navam. Pade pade ka virame tatat padach.
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 chalapiyach cheer, na jahati karhichit. Chalapiyach cheer, na jahati karhichit. Yadyapyasho parshva gato raho gatas. Tatapi tasyangri yugam navam navam.
Tatapi tasyangri yugam navam navam.
Pade pade ka virame tatat padach.
Pade pade ka virame tatat padach.
Chalapi yach chir na jahati kar hichit.
Chalapi yach chir na jahati kar
hichit. Please chant. Yatya pyasho parsha gato raho gatas. Tatya pitasyam griyu navam navam.
Pade pade ka virame tatat
pada. Pade pade ka virame tatat pada. Yadyapyasho parshva gato raho gatas. Tatapi tasyam griyugam navam navam.
Pade pade ka virame tatat padach.
Pade
pade ka virame tatat padach.
Chalapi yachir na jahati karhichit. Yatya pyasho parshva gato raho gatas. Tasyapi tasyam griyugam navam navam. Pade pade ka virame tatat padach. Chalapi yachir na jahati karhichit. Yadyapyasho parshva gato raho gatas.
Tatapi tasyam griyugam navam navam.
Tatapi tasyam
griyugam
navam navam.
Pade pade ka virame tatat padach.
Pade pade ka virame tatat padach.
Chalapi yachir na jahati karhichit.
Tatapi yachir Yadi, although, api, certainly, aso, he, Lord Sri Krishna, Parshvagata,
just by the side,
Rahagata, exclusively alone, Tatapi, still, Tasya, his, Angriyugam, the feet of the Lord, Navam Navam, newer and newer, Pade, step, Pade, in every step, Ka, who, Virameta, can be detached from, yet Padat, from his feet. Chalapi, moving. Yat, whom, Shri, the goddess of fortune. Na, never. Jahati, quits. Karhichit, at any time. Translation in purport by Srila Prabhupada. Although Lord Sri Krishna was constantly by their sides, as well as exclusively alone, his feet appeared to them to be newer and newer. The goddess of fortune, although by nature always restless and moving, could not quit the Lord's feet. So what woman can be detached from those feet, having once taken shelter of them. Let's say it together. Although Lord Sri Krishna together was constantly by their sides, as well as exclusively alone, his feet appeared to them to be newer and newer. The goddess of fortune, although by nature always restless and moving, could not quit the Lord's feet. So what woman can be detached from those feet, having once taken shelter of them? So we're continuing our story, which you're very familiar with by now, of the Lord Krishna's entrance into Dwarka. And it's describing the different reactions of the different citizens as they see and meet and greet the Lord. And it's describing their different relationships with the Lord. So right here, obviously, it's describing the queens and their intimate, personal, ever-fresh relationship with the Lord. So Srila Prabhupada's purport, actually I'm going to say, Omaginati Mirandasya Jananjana Salakaya Chakshur Urmilitam Jaina Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, and my spiritual master very kindly forced open my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. So I'm totally indebted to him for that and beg for service life after life. Srila Prabhupada's purport. The purport isn't particularly long, but it's a substantial purport enough so that I'm just going to read little bits and comment and then continue on. Conditioned living beings are always after the favor of the goddess of fortune, although by nature she is moving from one place to another. In the material world, no one is permanently fortunate, however clever one may be. There have been so many big empires in different parts of the world. There have been so many powerful kings all over the world. And there have been so many fortunate men. But all of them have been liquidated gradually. Very interesting choice of words, isn't it? Very definitive. No one escapes the influence of the power of time. Liquidation. From solid to liquid. It means, yeah. And even this philosophy, although we've heard it how many times over and over through the past years and decades and everything, it's still newer and newer, isn't it? Not only are the Lord's lotus feet newer and newer to those who become attached to them, but even this philosophy of Krishna consciousness, it never gets boring. It never gets old or hackneyed. And we hear it over and over again, and still there's just, you know, even in remarks such as this, which are not particularly ecstatic remarks, you know, that everyone's going to be liquidated in due course of time, but still it brings an ever-fresh remembrance to our mind that, yes, there's a different purpose in life than my go-to survival mode or whatever, you know, just surviving in life. There's a different purpose, and that is to develop our loving relationship with the Supreme Lord. And once that's kindled, the spark for that reawakening, our loving relationship with the Lord, once that's kindled, that spark, it's like, what are those, the Olympic torches? They say the Olympic torch, actually I'm not so well-versed on the Olympic torch, but I think they say the Olympic torch never goes out, they keep it always going, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, whatever. But once our spark of kindling, rekindling our loving relationship with the Lord is lit by the mercy of the spiritual master, by the pure devotee, that spark never goes out, for sure. That one definitely never goes out. And it's always there with the living entity. Even if it's not, even if the living entity themselves doesn't pursue that course of reawakening their loving relationship to the Lord fully in one life, it's never lost. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, whatever advancement that you make on the path, it's never lost. It's eternally to your credit. And will be rekindled when the situation is right. And there's so many stories in the Bhagavatam of that. But that's another thing. Okay. So we finished about all these. And okay, so far Srila Prabhupada's talked about the goddess of fortune, how she's always moving, she never stays in one place. But why is it that she's always moving, and why is it that she never stays in one place? It's not the goddess of fortune's fault that the living entity is sometimes in an opulent position in life, and sometimes in a distressed condition in life. It's not that the goddess has something out for us. The way that the material energy works is that the living entities are subjected to the laws of material nature, and due to their different activities, there are certain reactions, and due to the different reactions that we've accumulated. And here's the thing about reactions is that we have the tendency to forget what we've done. Just like Arjuna, purpose of Bhagavad Gita, when in fourth chapter, when Krishna says, I spoke this imperishable science to the sun god Bhivishvan, and Bhivishvan instructed it to Manu, etc., etc. And Arjuna said, excuse me, you and I are contemporaries, so how can you say that you spoke to the sun god? And Krishna says, many, many births both you and I have had, but I can remember all of them, but you cannot. So even someone as powerful as Arjuna, he doesn't remember all his different births that he took with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What to speak of ordinary living entities like ourselves? We're not even remembering what we're doing in this life, all of the things that we've done in this life to accrue different types of reactions, pious or impious. What to speak of our previous lives? Most of us, 99.9% of the people in the world, have no clue of previous lives, direct clue of their own previous life that they've done. So what to speak, and that was just a few hundred years before, or maybe 50 years before, or maybe 80 years before this. I have no clue what I was doing, but I was existing somewhere and accruing what? Pious and impious reactions for different activities. So the reaction to those activities doesn't come right away. It comes in due course of time. It fructifies, just like the example is given, like a seed. Like the seed planted in the ground. It's not that you plant that seed in the ground and immediately the next day you go out and there's a corn plant with corn on it, if that's what you're planting. But it takes time. It takes time for it to sprout its little roots and grow its little stalk and grow to maturity, and then who knows if it's actually ever going to even produce the corn, because the worms might come, which they often do when you plant corn, before the corn fruits properly, whatever the word is, matures properly. So back to the point. So this is why the living entity sometimes is suffering the results of impious activities, and therefore perhaps loses this or that, or is in bad health or whatever, and then sometimes is receiving the results of some pious credit, and therefore might be quote-unquote enjoying in a certain way. But that is always changing because of our stockpile, our unlimited stockpile of reactions that we've accrued over many lifetimes of a sojourn through the material world. So Srimad Bhagavatam, one of the subtle points of the Bhagavatam is that it always brings the living entity to conscious awareness of what we've done. We're the ones who are the architect of our own fortune. We're the ones that are responsible for our situation that we're in. It's not that we have, we're suffering because of a certain situation that we're in. It might be that we are doing that, but that's not the direct reason. The direct reason is that we've done something in the past, we're accruing a reaction, and we're responsible for that reaction because we're responsible for that activity, and therefore we're enjoying or suffering. So they're bringing us to an awareness that the living entity themselves, they're responsible for their own position. It's not that person's fault. It's not my mother's fault. It's not my this fault or my boss's fault or my that person. It's not the, or my country's fault or the president's fault. Or it's none of those. Those things are there. They're just this. They're just the apparent, the immediate cause, right? And then the subtle cause is what I've done in the past. You know, bringing, so Bhagavatam brings us to a point of responsibility. We have to accept responsibility for our own actions. And therefore, again, which is another impetus, but subtle impetus at the same time, what we're doing in this life is what we're going to happen. What's going to happen to us in our next life? In other words, what's happening to us in this life is already, you could say, a done deal. It's already a done deal due to past activities. You know, it's not that because I went to this college and I got that degree, now I have this good job and therefore I'm enjoying or whatever this amount of money or salary or whatever. That those are the superficial things, but because of activities in my past life, therefore I went to that college. So this life is already a done deal. And what's our next life? And that's why the Bhagavatam brings us, don't waste it. Do as much devotional activities you can in this life to spark that flame, that kindle that flame of that relationship with the Supreme Lord, which will never be extinguished or liquidated. Okay, Prabhupada says, continuing on, this is the law of material nature, but spiritually it's different. According to Brahma Samhita, the Lord is served very respectfully by hundreds and thousands of goddesses of fortune. Chintamani Prakara Sadmasu Kalpa Vriksha. That hundreds and thousands of goddesses of fortune are eager and enthusiastic and constantly energetic to serve the Lord. Sometimes we get a teeny weeny glimpse of that sometimes during big festival days, when Hari Puja Prabhu stands here and lists off 47 pages of thank yous to all the people that helped, you know, sponsor the outfit and make the vases and do the garlands and do the this and do the that for the wonderful darshan that we get to behold on festival, big festival days. And, you know, the mind sometimes thinks, all right, already, every single person, you know, you have to list every single person, all 3,000 of them. But you get an idea. That's 3,000 people that it took to produce that one beautiful darshan of the Lord. And that's not even everybody that participated. You know, that's the people in the kitchen hardly ever get mentioned, although we're very indebted to them, including the ones who cut up in that freezing cold kitchen in the freezing cold winter. And what to speak of all the other people that maintain and do service in so many different forms of service. So you can get a clue how unlimited people, unlimited living entities can be engaged in the Lord's service and feel that they're over-engaged. Everyone feels like, oh, if I had more time, I could do more. And you know what my theory is? My theory that Lord Brahma feels the same way at the end of his day. He thinks, man, I didn't have enough time today. Anyway, all right, sorry. Hundreds of people, thousands have got a fortune. Yeah. Oh, and she in second canto, Srimad Bhagavatam, we're doing our Bhagavatam study course with Dhruva Maharaj Prabhu. Second canto, I believe it was first chapter, the first step in God realization. Prabhupada talks about the different administrators of the universe and the demigods are in, and how they're pious living entities. And he said they've been elevated to that position because they're devotees of the Lord and they're powerful and pure. And he says, there are unlimited numbers of assisting administrators in the universe. And there are unlimited numbers of universes. So in other words, you get the idea that there's plenty of service for all of us in the spiritual world and in serving Krishna. And he says, Srila Prabhupada says, that every living entity has a part that they need to play. have a part to play in the service of the Lord. Every living entity has a part to play in the service of the Lord. And the Lord is waiting for us to play our part. We had that service. And somehow or other, due to some unfortunate circumstances, we left it. But we have that service. And we just need to reignite it, rekindle it, remember it. Okay. So, according to Brahma Samhita, the Lord is served very respectfully by hundreds and thousands of goddesses of fortune. They are always in a lonely place also with the Lord. But still, the association of the Lord is so inspiringly newer and newer that they cannot quit the Lord for a moment, even though by nature they are very restless and are moving about. The spiritual relation with the Lord is so enlivening and resourceful that no one can leave the company of the Lord once having taken shelter of him. No one can leave the company of the Lord once having taken shelter of him. And why is that? Because, as explained here and in many other places, that the loving exchanges between the Lord and the devotees are never hackneyed or boring. They're always increasing, and they always feel inspiring and fresh. So sometimes when you think of how the Lord performs his activities, his pastimes eternally in all the different universes, and in one he manifests in one universe, as soon as all the pastimes reach their culmination, then he'll go and move on, like it probably uses the term, an eternal roadshow. He'll move on to another universe and manifest the same pastimes again. But it's not that the pastime, oh, I did this already 10 million times. They're not boring. They're ever fresh and ever exciting. And what makes it ever fresh and ever exciting is the love. Have you noticed that it changes everything? It changes your whole vision. When there's a loving relationship, even however it is, you know, when there's a loving relationship, it changes your whole point of vision, and everything is new and fresh. Even the most minute little details are newer and fresh, and they don't get hackneyed and boring. Because there's an example in Krishna book, how the queens in Dwarka are cleaning the palaces of Dwarka, even though they have thousands of maidservants. They're personally engaged in cleaning the palaces of Dwarka. And why are they doing that? Because when the Lord sees them do it, he smiles. There's a glance, there's an exchange, whether it's, you know, however it is, and he's pleased. And when they see the Lord smile at them, they become enlivened and they smile back. And the Lord sees that, and he's encouraged and enlivened by that reciprocation of smiling. And it goes on, ever increasing like that. So now it talks a little bit about the living entities. The living beings are by constitution feminine by nature. The male or enjoyer is the Lord, and all manifestations of his different potencies are feminine by nature. In Bhagavad Gita, the living beings are designated as para prakriti, or the superior potency. The material elements are apara, or inferior potency. So this is mentioned in Bhagavad Gita in the 7th chapter, in the 4th and 5th verse? Yeah, 4th and 5th verse. So this chapter is called Knowledge of the Absolute. So in this chapter, Krishna starts off the chapter telling Arjuna, I'm going to tell you something that once you understand this information, you won't have to know anything else. This is the essence of all information. So he says in 3, he says, out of many thousands among men, one may endeavor for perfection, and of those who have achieved perfection, hardly one knows me in truth. So he's revealing something here in this 7th chapter, knowledge of himself, of his energies. And so in text 4, when he says, Bhumir Apanalo Vayo, Kam Mano Buddhir Evacha, he says, earth, he explains the material elements. says earth, water, fire, air, ether, and then subtle, mind, intelligence, and false ego. Altogether, these eight comprise my separated material energies. And it's very interesting. You can easily relate to earth, water, fire, air, ether being a material energy. But, at least for myself, you know, mind, intelligence, and false ego, separate from the living entity, is a material energy. Interesting, huh? So many interesting things. Anyway, so then that's the fourth one. And the fifth one, he talks about the superior energy, the living entity itself, the jiva. Besides the inferior nature, O mighty Arjuna, there is a superior energy mind, which are all living entities who are struggling with material nature and are thus sustaining the universe. So he explains that the living entities are the superior energy of the Lord, meaning the same Satchidananda potency as the Lord, the same qualities, but not in the same quantity of the Lord. They are eternal, not, they're full of knowledge and full of bliss. But somehow or other, when that fateful day came, when we decided that, you know, we thought we'd try a different program, and we thought that, you know, serving Krishna wasn't really as, whatever that confusion was, and we left this, you know, turned our back on Krishna, our whole conception of our sense of self changes. Our sense of self changes from, in the spiritual world, our sense of self is, I am servant, I'm part, I'm just a little piece of this, the program here. I'm an insignificant part, a servant of the Lord. That's who I am. And that's what's going to make me happy. Just like the example that's given 10 million times about the little teeny insignificant screw or nut or bolt that's part of a big engine. It's, you know, it's worth 5 cents, perhaps, you know, its value. But it has an important role. And when it's screwed into the right place and doing it and holding everything together like it's supposed to, then it's insignificant value is very important. But when that little screw or the little bolt comes off and it falls on the ground and then the car breaks or whatever, you know, you think, how could that be so important? But it is. It has its insignificant, significant importance. How do you like that? Anyway, such potencies, these para and apara, the inferior and superior potencies, are always employed for the satisfaction of the employer or the enjoyer, meaning Krishna, in case you didn't get that. Oh, here it is, just in case we forgot. Prabhupada says, the supreme enjoyer is the Lord himself, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita 5:29. So you got that one down, 5:29? You know which one that one is, off the top of your head? Good girl. Yes, very good, thank you. And can you give us the translation? Even more or less is fine.
He who understands that I am the supreme controller, the supreme enjoyer, and the supreme well-wisher to the living entity, he who understands that I'm the receiver of all sacrifices, he attains peace.
Yes, thank you. So 529, Bhoktaram Yajna Tapasam, that's what Prabhupada calls the peace formula. Everyone's looking for peace in the material world, but they're not understanding who the supreme controller is, the supreme enjoyer of all the acts of sacrifice. They're not understanding who our supreme friend is either. And they're not understanding who's the owner and controller of all the universes. That's Krishna. When we when you put all those things in proper perspective, then you think, oh yeah, there's a plan here. There's a plan, there's an organization, and if I participate in that plan, then things will go smoothly. And if I try to, fight the system or devise another plan or a different enjoyer, meaning myself, then I get the results of those activities, such as a visit or a departure of the visit of the goddess of fortune. The potencies, therefore, when engaged directly in service of the Lord, revive the natural color. Isn't that interesting? I don't know why he used the word color, I'll have to admit. The potencies, therefore, when engaged directly in service of the Lord, revive the natural color. And thus there is no disparity in the relationship of the potent and potency. Madam Mati, you want to explain that sentence? Please?
I was just thinking, Prabhupada, you're talking about reviving the color.
Yeah. The color what?
The color back. Got the color, we got the color, like the person's face was pale, and now...
Oh, got the color back, excuse me.
Yeah, the person's okay. Looking very pale, but now he's got all his reddish color.
His life has come back.
That's
perfect, thanks. Thank you. I wasn't thinking like that at all. So, just in case, for those of you who didn't hear, on the internet, Madhumati was saying how it's a common saying that like someone will say, oh, they got their color back, their pace was fail, maybe there was whatever, they weren't feeling well, whatever, or they were scared or whatever, and their pace was, and then their color came back, and meaning that their life and enthusiasm becomes revived. Oh yeah, thank you. Okay, that makes total sense and fits right in there. So the potencies, therefore, when engaged directly in the service of the Lord, revive the natural color, meaning the blissful condition of the living entity. And thus there is no disparity in the relations of the potent and the potency. And here's the last paragraph. Generally, people engaged in the service are always seeking some position, some post under the government or supreme enjoyer of the state. Since the Lord is the supreme enjoyer of everything in or outside the universe, it is happiness to be employed by Him. Once engaged in the supreme governmental service of the Lord, no living being wishes to be relieved from that engagement. The highest perfection of human life is to seek some employment under the Lord's supreme service. That will make one extremely happy. One need not seek the moving goddess of fortune without the relation of the Lord. So that ends Srila Prabhupada's purport. But in relation to the verse of the queens of Dwarka, who on seeing the Lord in their own households, you know, sometimes they would see them in their... they would be alone with him in their house, in their palace, not their house, in their palaces. And sometimes they would be among other people seeing the Lord. And that relationship was so eternally fresh and new that there was never any discrepancy, never any cause of boredom, never any cause of dissatisfaction, even in the different relationships or activities of the Lord, even when he teases them or whatever, however he teases them, the love is so fixed and fixed but not stagnant. It's ever increasingly fixed with them that every single thing that the Lord does is newer and newer to them. And they can't, as was mentioned in the purport, that who could give that up? Actually, it's even mentioned in the verse, the last sentence of the verse. So what woman can be detached from those feet, having once taken shelter them? It's mentioned in the first canto, and I had a hard time finding where it was mentioned, because sometimes when you do a search on the Veda base for me, unless you get the exact words, you never get what you're looking for. But I was trying to find where it's mentioned, similar passages mentioned, how once having relished the pleasure of the service to the Lord, one can never forget that. it's mentioned in various places, but I couldn't get the exact quote or reference to who said it or what the circumstance was. But even perhaps we've had the experience of that in ourselves, in our sojourn through Krishna consciousness, because at different times, by the influence of the modes of nature, we might be more enlivened or less enlivened in our service. But because we've been enlivened in our service, there's always that remembrance of, oh, remember that ecstatic festival, or remember that ecstatic thing that we were doing, or remember this or that. You remember that taste, and that encourages us to keep at the process so that we'll be able to come to a fixed level of, you know, of faith and service to the Lord. Any questions or comments, or comments or questions?
Sri Devi Dasi.
Thank you for your ecstatic class. So many nice things you said. I don't know which to comment on first. Well, for one, there's two. There's like a spiritual goddess of fortune, and then there's a material goddess of fortune. And I think the one that everybody's chasing after in the material world, she's the material goddess of fortune. She's the transformation of the spiritual one. That's like, I think she represents Yoga Maya, and then Mahamaya is represented by the material goddess of fortune, right? And then,
correct.
So all the people in the material world are chasing after that one, the material one, which is,
correct. Yeah,
which is Chanchala, changing because of their own past activities.
Good
right?
point. Yes, thank you. Good clarification. Unless they're unfortunate, like Ravana, who thought he could steal the Lord's consort himself, but he did meet with an untimely end because of that. But thanks, that's a nice point. Anything else?
Well, I mean, unless someone else has something, does someone else want to say?
I think you're the one to go ahead. Go
Sorry. can we understand, in the purport where Prabhupada said, nobody can leave the association of the Lord once having taken shelter of him? How can we understand, you know, those who have been devotees in the past, or they leave the movement or whatever, you know, how can we, obviously Krishna is going to pull them back at some point, right?
But yeah.
Is there own anarthas that are taking them away?
Nectar Devotion has a really nice description, and it explains that due to we suffer or lose our taste for devotional service due to offenses that we've committed. And that losing the taste is the direct result of the offense. And it's explained like the what is it when the moon goes thinner? Is that waning?
Waning.
Thanks. I need help with those big terms there. It's like the waning of the moon. The moon is going thinner. Our enthusiasm goes thinner. Our taste gets less and less. And as a result of less taste, we think, I'm going to go in a different direction now because I want to. I don't want to go in this bhakti path right now. I want to go in a different path. But it's not our desire. Our taste has been taken away as a result of the offense. And as a result of different offenses, there's suffering or lack of taste or whatever. And then, so perhaps the person goes on a different course for some time and accrues different reactions for whatever they're doing out there. But when all of that is settled and done, that taste that they originally had is there, and it's not lost, and it just gets revived again. And there's many stories like that in the scriptures, just like, oh, let me think of a couple. Because what we see, again, what we see with our eyes, somebody was engaged in devotional service for decades and then deviated somehow or other, or faded away or whatever,
And we might think that's the end of the story, but it's not the end of the story, because again, we're thinking that this body is the all in all, and I've just got this one life, and actually that's illusion. So when we put it all together, that this is just a temporary sojourn, this 50 years, 60 years, or whatever, is just a temporary sojourn. I'm eternal. I'm, you know, gradually accruing transcendentally pious activities to revive my consciousness, and that will continue in another form, in another life, and be revived somehow or other. As far as examples, I'm drawing a blank, but I know there's millions of examples there. Chitraketu. Yeah, there's the example of Chitraketu. Thank you. Who made his progress, blah, 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 reached, you know, a high degree of perfection, circumstantially had a little interruption there, interaction with Lord Shiva, took birth as a demon, and a very powerful demon that killed lots of demigods, so that's like heavy-duty reactions, right? But somehow or other, his remembrance, and then there's Gajendra, and then, thanks. Then, you know, the remembrance is brought about. It's brought about by the mercy of the Lord, and they continue on. So similarly, in our stage of sadhana, you know, our practice stage, you know, whatever progress we make in this life, it'll never, never be lost. There'll be a reaction for what needs to be reacted to. When that's finished, one will take up. And although it might appear to be a huge span of time, sometimes we hear the stories of, like, Bali Maharaj's sister, when she saw Vamanadev, she was attracted to him. She thought, I want a son like him. Then when Vamanadev took everything away from Bali Maharaj, she became very angry and said, oh, if I had a son like him, I'd kill him. Then so from the incarnation of Vamana, the appearance of Lord Vamanadev, to the appearance of Lord Krishna, she takes birth as Putana and gets that dual role of trying to kill him and also love him at the same time. And there's a huge span of time, but it's there, and then it's elevated to a dakshi, a nurse, a wet nurse.
Thank you so much. Yeah. All your amazing knowledge.
Ha, Krishna.
That's why offenses are so dangerous.
The spinky spark. The spinky spark without much realization. But anyway, Hare Krishna. Is that all for now? I think we're ready, right?
There's one online comment from Mother Gautmika who says, when the jiva is not engaged in the service of the Lord, their life is just black and white.
Oh.
But when engaged directly in the service of the Lord, their life is full of color.
That's very nice. Thank you for that. Very good. Very good realization.
And then one comment from Dina Dwarka Lila.
Huh.
Thank you for how you share, connect teachings, and inspire us to run faster and faster to our Gurudev and Krishna.
Jai, and thank you for being present at every single darshan. She's there at every single darshan offering her pranams and her flowers. Thank you, Hare Krishna. Jai Srila Prabhupada. Vanchakopa Divya Chakripa Sindhya Uchapati Kama.